think I got it. I just wanted to see what Mark would do. I'm sorry. I have a lot of people to thank this morning. First of all, I already thanked them earlier, but I just wanted to thank our veterans again for their service and our soldiers and everything that they do. This Memorial Day in particular is kind of a difficult one for me. As many of you know, my grandfather passed away unexpectedly on Sunday, and I got the call Monday morning that he'd passed. And he was a veteran. He served in Korea for the Korean conflict. He served in the Air Force and the Air National Guard. He retired a master sergeant. And so when I got the call that he had passed and he had a heart attack, we were kind of taken back. He was a healthy guy. I mean, he was older. He was 87, but he was doing great. And it was just it was a tough call to receive. So I just want to thank you all for your prayers. And in the midst of everything going on with the funeral, many of you know Andrew has some gut issues, and he was having some struggles with constipation and things like that, and that's pretty serious with his condition. So it's been a loaded week, and so it did make sermon prep a little interesting this week, but we got it done, and we're excited. So I just want to thank you all for your prayers. Had it not been for the prayers, I feel this week would have gotten to me, and I would have probably not been doing so well this morning. But it certainly has been a busy week for me, at least, and I'm sure for most of you, you know what busyness feels like. But we're going to be in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. And I always make this promise, and I always follow through with the promise. We'll be out before dinner. So we will be out before dinner. So whatever you got cooking tonight, you'll be able to eat it. We'll get through this together. But busyness is just one thing in the midst of many things that can distract us from our relationship with God. And just a little background in this passage before I go to read it. Jesus is addressing the seven churches, and the first church on the list is Ephesus. And Jesus is reminding them of all the wonderful things that they've done. He's taken notice to the many accomplishments and works for the kingdom that they've done. But he also points out one issue that he has with them, and it's a very important issue. It is their lack of remembering their first love. And he's, of course, talking about himself. So I say busyness. For some, it's busyness. For others, it might be temptation. It might be family. It might be work. It could be anything that can get a hold of us and distract us from not what's important, but who's important. The most important, and that is Christ. So we're going to be reading out of the book of Revelation, and we'll be in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in paradise with God. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this Memorial Day weekend, and as we honor those who've gone before us and who have made the ultimate sacrifice, I just pray, Father, that that we would also remember the ultimate sacrifice you made and how you became our first love. And we thank you for all that you do in our lives, and I ask that you speak to us this morning, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm sure we got at least one married couple in the house this morning. You remember when you first started dating, huh? You loved her. She tolerated you. You tried to impress her. She acted impressed. It was just a nice, warm feeling, wasn't it, when you first started dating and life was so great, and you just feel like you could take on the whole world, and then you got married. No. You get married, you have kids, and life just kind of takes off, and before you know it, you just kind of get to that point where, wow, what happened? Where did the time go? What happened? I've been married for not even 6 years yet, and my waistline has expanded by as many inches as I've been married, and that's not a good trend at all. Sarah just reminded me it has been 6 years. See, where's the time going? But much is the same, if not even more the same, with our relationship with Christ. Many of us, most of us, I'm sure, grew up in church, with a few exceptions, but we grew up hearing about this man called Jesus and all the wonderful things he did, how he healed the lame, helped the blind see, helped the deaf to hear, helped the crippled to walk again. And then we heard about this ultimate sacrifice that he made on our behalf. It's fitting when we think about Memorial Day, those who have gone before us, and we think about Jesus and what he's done for us. He gave himself on the cross, took on our punishment that we deserve for our sin and shame. And he didn't just do this on a whim. It was planned before the beginning of time. So as God was creating the world, he had that in mind. That's why this passage, Jesus refers to himself as the church of Ephesus, their first love. They've forgotten him. He is their first love because he was the one that took the initiative to love them and us. So, it's very tempting in our society, especially our society, and I see this in not just our church, but every single church across this great nation, that there are folks who may need a little reminder. And I know for my life, especially this week that I had, it was easy for me to forget. So, here are four things in the midst of all of that, that Jesus notices, that we see from this passage. And he's talking to the church. The first thing he notices is the deeds. Now, good Baptist doctrine, one of the reasons I became a Baptist is because I believe wholeheartedly with this doctrine, is good deeds or good works do not save. In other words, you don't earn merit or favor with God because of the wonderful things you do. We know that. But good deeds are important. They are important because they are a reflection of the work that Christ has done in us. So while there are some that believe you do good things and do good works to be saved, the opposite is true. We believe, based on Scripture, that it's not the good works that save, but it's the good works that's a reflection of what God has done in us. So Jesus notices the deeds. He looks at our church, Central Baptist Church. He looks at our members, And he takes pride in the work we do in his name. He notices. He loves it. He loves it because it's obedience. I can think of many instances where I should have helped folks, or I should have gone the extra mile to help people. But I can think of some instances where I have helped people, and it's a fulfillment. It's fulfilling because you're doing what you have been created to do, and that's loving people. So Jesus notices these folks' deeds. That's one good thing that they're doing. Here's the second good thing. He notices the hard work. I don't know too much about working in church. I've only been doing it for 6 years, full-time ministry. But I know enough to know this. It's hard work. It takes a lot of work and preparation to do this week in and week out, to do ministries, especially youth ministry. You know, you got to keep them busy. The children's ministry, it's a lot. It's a lot that has to come together and gel. And it's, you know, if one member of the family's hurting, the whole thing hurts. But that hard work is what helps get this through, helps us do what we're supposed to do. It's not just, we don't just wake up on Sunday morning and expect all this to start working. No, it takes a lot of folks behind the scenes to do the work. And Jesus is acknowledging that. Good things, doing that hard work. That's what we're supposed to do. This isn't supposed to be easy. If it was, we wouldn't have to do any hard work. Third thing he notices is perseverance. Perseverance and faith go hand in hand. So, and if there is anything that Jesus takes pride in our lives that we do, it is the perseverance. And one example from Scripture I can think of off the top of my head is the stoning of Stephen and his martyrdom. That is the only instance in Scripture that describes Jesus as standing at his throne. So when Jesus sees perseverance in our lives, and when he sees our church and our members sticking to the faith, no matter the circumstances, no matter all the hardships, he takes notice. He understands personally what perseverance is like. And when a church or a member of a church can persevere, Jesus, whoa, they get it. It's kind of like when your kid starts eating with a fork for the first time and he stops using his hands. Andrew's not there yet, but I'm going to be thoroughly impressed when he starts using the fork. He gets it. Jesus takes notice to that. He takes notice to the fact that we persevere. And we persevere because of this thing I like to call hope. The reason we stick to this faith, no matter what the world's telling us or no matter what our circumstances have given us, the reason we stick to it is because of the hope that we have. Like I said, faith and perseverance go hand in hand. And when you're persevering through the faith, you're basically telling Jesus, you know what, Jesus, it's just you and me. And I'm not going anywhere. And I know you're not going anywhere, so I'm just going to keep sticking to it. And that is something that Jesus is definitely impressed with. The one thing those first three things I mentioned they all have in common is that they are all good things. And they are all evidence of the work that Jesus has done in our lives. You know, if we do good deeds in the name of Christ, if we persevere, if we work hard for the gospel, Jesus takes notice of those things. But this fourth thing he takes notice of, this is the one that really slips a lot of people. And it's so simple. And it's the observation that is the whole point of this passage. He notices our love for him, or lack thereof. You see, I can do good deeds. I can work hard. I can even persevere. But if I neglect to love Jesus, and let me tell you what I mean by that. Spend time with him, study his word, actually, you know, make time for him instead of having that little fish sticker on the back of my car or instead of wearing that WWJD bracelet. Those are good things in and of themselves. I'm not going to knock those things, but everything I do in the name of Jesus is in vain if I'm not even spending time with him. We got some married folks in the house, yes? What's the most hurtful thing when it comes to a marriage relationship? It's that lack of time. It's that lack of acknowledging each other. It's that lack of spending genuine time. I can do all the things in the world for my spouse. I can, you know, give her a nice bracelet. I can give her some time to get out of the house and watch Andrew, but it's so easy for me to neglect the needs because things arise. Things take precedent sometimes that shouldn't take precedent, and it's so easy to forget. It happens a lot, yes? Or is it just me? But I'm pretty sure it's not just me that struggles with that. It's the same concept with our relationship with Christ. He has gone above and beyond in this relationship to not only save us, but use us and equip us to do good work. And if we're not spending time with him, and if we're not acknowledging him, if we're not praying to him, then all of these good things that we do as a church, all of these good things we do in our own lives, they're all in vain if you don't love him. One of the biggest things that turns people off from church are the hypocrites. Have you ever heard that? I ain't going to church because of those hypocrites. I'll say this. That's ironic. That's an ironic statement people make because not just Christians, but everybody can be hypocritical. But one thing that people do take notice of that we need to be aware of is if we are talking about this relationship with Christ, but we're not living it out. And I think they have a point. If I talk about this gospel, if I do all these things for the gospel, yet my personal life, what I do behind the scenes while I'm not at church is not adding up with what I believe, people will take notice. And part of the reason is because we may have forgotten and we may need a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. So, well, Daniel, how do I know if I've forgotten? Well, there's three things I think happen when you fail to remember your first love, and that is Christ. First thing that happens is you lose focus. When you are born again, you're grafted into this family. That is the family of God. You are a child of God, and you have a purpose that is meant to build the kingdom. You're meant to fellowship with other believers. You're meant to go out and do the mission work. You're meant to serve in the church. You're meant to do all of these things. Well, one of the things that happens if you tend to drift and forget about Christ and his love for you, you lose focus. You forget about all those things. And it may not happen all at once, but it's like the song says, it's a slow fade. You begin to kind of wonder why. You begin to forget what you're supposed to do. The second thing that happens is from that you become complacent. All of a sudden, all those things that you used to be excited about. Look, when you first got saved, God could have told you that night, I need you to go to the Congo and witness to those people. You were so on fire, you probably would have done it. Am I correct? When you first get saved, your life has been changed. You start thinking about all these wonderful things that you're going to be doing for the kingdom. Oh man, I can't wait to just get plugged in. I can't wait to go on mission trips. I can't wait to serve in VBS. When's the last time you heard somebody say that? I can't wait to serve in VBS. But let me just say this. VBS, great ministry. I'm excited. You should be excited too. So if anybody asked how Daniel feels about VBS, you can just tell them that he's excited. Especially that I got sixth grade boys this year. I'm sorry, I was at a Catholic funeral this week, so it's all coming back to me. But you become complacent. All of a sudden, all those things you used to be excited about, you're not really thinking about anymore. Even the thought of getting up on a Sunday morning. You know, how many of you have ever done this? Well, you know, I had a busy week, and I thought I was going to get some rest on Saturday yesterday, and gosh, I had to do this and this, and didn't get in till late, and got to get back to work early on Monday, and I guess I'll just give this Sunday a pass. I'm all for missing church if you got a good reason. And the reason I think that sometimes you need to be at church all the time, especially when you're able, is because this right here, the fellowship of believers, the body of Christ, this is what we have been grafted into. This is family. This is the most perfect picture we have in this life of what's going to take place in eternity. This is a glimpse. This is it. The people you're sitting next to, you get used to it. You're going to be seeing them for the next thousands upon thousands of years. If you can even measure heaven with time, you can't. When complacency takes hold, it's because of that lack of remembrance of what Christ has done. Here's a thought. The next time you have a moment where you think that none of this makes sense or none of this is even worth it, just remember the cross. Just remember all of that that Jesus took on himself. And remember that it wasn't just for you, but it was for everyone around you. It was for the world. And just remember that all that suffering, all of that anguish that he took upon himself, he did it so you wouldn't have to. And we come into this house, we come into this place of worship, and we remember, we think on Christ. That's the whole point of Sunday morning worship. We think on everything he's done for us and all the great things that he did so that we wouldn't have to suffer for eternity because of our sins. He took it all for us. Remember that. Remember that so you don't become complacent. The third thing is you fall into temptation. Notice it's kind of a downhill effect, I guess you can say. You lose focus, you become complacent, and then you start looking at the world around you and you start looking at the fruit that you're not supposed to eat, and you fall into temptation. Complacency leads to fall to temptation. You know, it makes sense because all of those things that you used to love in your walk with Christ, and you used to think to yourself about this sin, and you hate the sin. How many of you just hate to sin? You sin and you hate it. You know why you hate it? Because you've been changed. You know, you feel terrible about yourself because you remember, hey, Jesus did far too much for me to continue living this way. But one of the things that happens when you fail to remember the love of Christ is eventually you may fall into temptation and you may begin to start doing things that you once left behind. That's why Jesus says at the end of this passage, he urges them to repent. Kind of an odd thing when you first read it. You know, he's going on about all these wonderful things, and then he mentions the fact that they've forgotten their first love, and he urges them, repent. Why does he say to repent? Because we are going back to how things used to be when we first fell in love with Christ. Remember what I said earlier? You felt like if God would have called you to the mission field, you would have jumped right on it. It's human nature to fall away from love. There's so many married couples I know who love each other. They love each other. But you know those annoying couples? They've been married for like 30 years and they're still on their honeymoon. That's possible with Christ. It's possible with Christ because we have to always remember all of what he did for us. He did so much for us. He suffered and died for us. And he continues to pursue us even when we're not pursuing him. We're in a good spot, y'all, at this church. There's the high school right across the street. The community I know has been hit. I've been told all the wonderful stories about Spring Hill and its past, and you know, the economy's kind of gone down a little bit, but the people are still here. They're here, and we're in a good spot. And I think about our church right now in this season that we're in, and it's interesting. We're about to gut this very room we're sitting in and turn it into something a little more spectacular. We've got a new search committee for, and Ray's doing a wonderful job being the interim of the interim of the interim. But we're in a good spot. But we're also in an interesting place where if we look at all this work that needs to be done in the meantime, it's very easy to lose focus, maybe. I think the best thing to do during this time, this busy summer coming up, and if you have, let's try to remember if we've forgotten. Let's try to remember why we're here. Let's try to remember the love that Jesus has for us and how we are supposed to spread that love to the nations, to the city of Spring Hill, to our neighbors. And let's remember not to forget for the sake of those around us in our, and even in our own lives, that we may not fall into temptation. So as Miss Darlene gets ready to come up and play, I have one question, just one question. And if you'd like to do business with God, we'd love to pray with you. But my question for you is this. Have you forgotten your first love? And that is Christ. Have you forgotten the work he's done in your life? There was a time when you were lost as a goose, and then Jesus came in and turned you into something beautiful, made you something different, changed your life. And he's seen your deeds, he's seen your perseverance, he's seen your hard work, but he's calling you to repent and come back to him. Don't keep living the Christian life in vain. Keep pursuing God in everything you do. And the best way to do that is to remember the love he has for you. That's the only thing that gets me through. And at this time, if you have any business to do with God, let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's work that out.